up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Glad you can be with us, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. You know, people in New England, you can relax. There is nothing to be read into the Tom Brady putting his house on the market story. Oh, we love creating drama, but Brady, speaking on a local radio show, said, quote, "You shouldn't read into anything. I think it takes a long time to sell a house. My house is a little bit on the expensive side, so it doesn't fly off the shelf in a couple of weeks. I think I'm at a point in my life where there's a lot of considerations that go into playing. I have a very busy professional life, a very busy personal life. Any decision that has to be considered everything. I'm certainly at a place where I've been the same place for a long time, and I love playing for the Patriots." It's amazing how that became a question, and it's easy to do, right? He signed basically a one-year extension. He can make him a free agent after this season, likely not to happen. But then his house goes on the market. And you could certainly read into that. But that's where we are. And I think we overanalyze a lot of this stuff. Man is selling a house, but he's selling a house and we don't know where he's going to live. Where is he going to buy another one? What does this mean? Is it a coincidence that it comes at the same time that he's signed this deal that could make him a free agent after this season? But Brady, there's nothing really. I mean, Brady has said time and time again he likes playing for the Patriots. He likes playing on that team. And we all kind of had the feeling like they're going to take care of him and he's going to close out his season there. He's not going to do Johnny Unitas and play for the Chargers. He's not going to go somewhere else to try to finish off a career in his 40s. The Patriots are going to be where he is. But I just find it interesting that the man puts his house on the market and we already read into what exactly does this mean, rather than he just put his house on the market. I mean, we're like the nearest one was in like Connecticut I think New Jersey was the nearest house, or New York City for that matter, the apartment in New York City. Will he helicopter in? No, he'll just get another house somewhere down the road. They'll rent if they have to. You know, maybe not buy yet because it is a couple of years before they want to leave. But I just found it interesting. All right, coming up, one of the weirdest stories in sports that I've seen in a while. It involves a college football player and a college football team and something from the sky. Coming up next, SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. NFC North this week starts tomorrow with the Bears. So we got that for you. And then we get the Lions, and then the Packers, and then the Vikings to close out the week. We're doing a division a week all the way through. This really is an interesting story, Ron. I kind of thought this would be up your alley for a good, bad, and the dumb, but I don't know where you would put it. Georgia Southern quarterback Shai Wirtz, and I hope I'm pronouncing his first name correctly, Shai. I think it's pronounced Shai.
Yes.
Shai Wirtz was cleared of drug charges after using a defensive bird poop.
Yes.
Oh, how? Did you see this?
I saw that last week.
Yeah, it's a really good story. So they dropped the charges of cocaine possession against Georgia Southern quarterback Shai Wirtz on Thursday. Why? He was suspected of cocaine was on the hood of his car. The substance the quarterback contended was bird poop. All right, now the athletic director says that he's known Shai on a daily basis for 3 years, blah, 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 blah. He has no record of this in the past. We're glad this incident is put behind us. He was held out of practice for 2 days while they awaited the results from a university-administered drug test. He passed the test, returned to practice. Then, in South Carolina, they were testing the substance to see exactly what it is. He said it was bird poop, but they were testing the substance and to see if it was linked to cocaine. Officers took photographs of the hood of the car and then used a digital camera. They sent this white substance to South Carolina law enforcement. The results are still uncertain. Deputy Solicitor for the 11th Judicial Circuit told ESPN that from the test results, the only things they could tell for certain was it wasn't a controlled substance. So this worked. So had it tested positive for it says here if, even if the substance had tested positive, charges would have been dropped.
Well, yeah, because he didn't test positive.
No, he didn't test positive. Right. And that's kind of weird.
I mean,
to see a white substance on the car and not know it's bird poop.
Yeah, he might have to take his car to rehab.
Quick question.
And car left a little bit on the hood.
They don't get into the reasoning. Why did the cop think it was cocaine in the first place?
That's a good question.
Why?
Profiling.
Yep, that's profiling, probably. You're right.
Profiling is wrong.
I mean, have you ever walked by a car in a parking lot, saw some bird poop on the car, and went, coke addict?
Yep. All the time.
Drug addict.
All the time.
What a drug addict. Can't believe this woman's got kids.
Yep.
Coke fiend.
Baby
on the hood of her car. It's right, baby on board.
I'm certain she's using that placard to cut it up.
Exactly. My daughter is an honor student. Whatever.
Yeah, right.
Right. Coke addict like you as an honor student, forget it. I mean, how many of you walked by bird poop and went, oh, man, I've got to go to the car wash, bird poop on the car. My God, you would think I'm not kidding when I tell you this. You would think I'm running a drug house if you went out to my patio
someday. You ever see those cars that just got bombarded?
Yes.
That must be coke dealer.
Yep, completely.
He's just throwing it all over the place.
My son and I had to scrub down the patio. I don't know what happened. I don't know if a flock looked down at my patio and went, yeah, right there, everybody, go. Because we went out there and I was like, holy mackerel.
You were just being your best Tony Montoya.
That's right, exactly.
Just what throwing a weird, it around.
What a weird story this is. I am really, I'm trying to look into this and I'm clicking on links in the story. But it doesn't, again, if you find it, let me know.
Well, is this a problem?
I can't find a, where the cops went, hey, come here. That looks like cocaine to me. Does that look like cocaine to you, Bob? Sure does.
And neither one of them tasted it? Because whenever TV show I ever watched, they cut open the bag and they taste it. And they're like, oh, that's coke.
Isn't one of the most famous scenes of that in Goodfellas? Where they arrest Henry Hill, Ray Liotta's in jail, and the guy goes, and he dips it in, he goes, what were you making, a cake? And he lives and goes, ah, ha, ha, ha. And he kind of smiles, he tastes it, and he smiles knowing that they had him.
Yep.
Yeah. The reason the cops didn't taste it, because it was bird poop.
Yeah.
And they knew it was bird poop.
And they couldn't get the rookie to do it. I think that was the problem. They were trying to get the rookies, like, you know, that's cocaine. And then they had to make up the story to kind of do it because the rookie was like, I'm not tasting that.
Yeah.
Bird poop, man.
God.
But I can't tell you that you're wrong because you're my, you know, senior
what
officer.
What a bizarre story. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I just want to know. I mean, I've never heard of an incident where, you know, coke dealers get busted for leaving it on the hood of their car.
Hood of the car.
Is that a problem?
He did get a speeding ticket, so they pulled him over for speeding. So he says, here's another part of the story. Shai Wirtz, a junior at Georgia Southern, was arrested on July 31st after being pulled over for driving 80 miles an hour and having a white powder on the hood of his Dodge Charger. The substance tested positive for cocaine with two kits during a field test. That obviously is not true because they tested out, said it wasn't a controlled substance.
That field test, I think they've gone bad.
That's bad now. But why would you test it in the first place? That's weird.
They sat there and said, hey, these expired sticks, they still work, right?
That's right. Yeah, right? Exactly. Wirt said the substance was bird poop, and he tried to clean it at a car wash 2 days earlier and had no idea where cocaine would have come from. Which appeared there was an attempt to clean the substance by a windshield wiper as some of it was near the washer fluid dispenser. He was charged with misdemeanor cocaine possession.
This is easy. You got to start investigating those birds.
That's right.
What are those birds getting into?
I think you're on to something. I think the birds are having a little bit too much fun and then, you know, pooping all over South Carolina.
This is near Columbia, right?
Maybe.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, maybe.
Just saying, you know, I mean, Columbia, South Carolina, Columbia, cocaine capital.
That's right.
Of the world.
Good connection, Ron Culver. Good connection.
Know.
Well done.
Is that the weirdest? Is that the weirdest story?
That would have been, but I did hear one that was stranger last week.
Okay, go ahead.
That a woman had drugs stuffed up her, you know.
Yeah.
And when she got busted by the cops, she claimed that they weren't hers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know how you how you argue that, because obviously she didn't put it there.
I really wish if you're a cop and somebody uses that as a defense, can you yell like how much crap that is, or do you have to go, okay, if that's your defense, that's your defense, and moving along? Or can you just go, that's a bunch of crap, shut up, you can't talk? No. And or do you have to say, all right, whatever, we'll get the lawyer, tell the lawyer, just roll it off your, you know, roll it off your back? Because I would probably explode if I was an investigator. And she goes, nah, it's not mine. Really? Because we found it inside you. What are you talking about?
Yeah. A Louisiana woman, she got busted with, I don't know how much meth she had up there.
She had meth?
She had meth. And sweet, it was up there, Lord. But she told the cops that it wasn't hers.
Sweet Lord.
Yeah.
That is, oh my God, that's a little much. God, I'm
Well, it gets better. She also had about $6,200 in cash stuffed up there.
Oh, wow. What?
62 is.
Oh my God.
Yeah. That's a woman. That's a woman right there. That's a woman you don't bring home to mom.
God, no.
You bring home the girl next door, even though you're dating her.
$6,200.
$6,200 and 1 gram of meth.
God. Yeah. Please tell me there's a $6,200 bill that the government just made.
God, probably not.
Was it all in fives?
Singles.
Oh, my heavens.
Just, well, I guess if you roll it tight enough and rubber band it, I guess.
God, it's still.
I mean, I wonder how hot and bothered she was when they pulled her over. Like, when I was, are you okay? Oh, I'm fine.
When I was in high school, I used to wait tables. And
you thought about sticking $6,200?
No. But this is, it was, all I had was ones and fives, right? Those pretty much all, you know, that's basically what I'd get. I worked at this, like steakhouse buffet kind of place. So I had all these ones and fives, but I have a lot of them. And I thought it would be awesome. I took $100 in ones. All right. Not crisp ones like you get at the bank. Just, I mean, people's wallet ones, whatever. And I went downstairs in our bookshelves and I had, these encyclopedias, and I took out an encyclopedia and I put $100 in ones in the bookshelf and then jammed the encyclopedia back in there to smush it to create a brick of money, because I thought that would really be cool if I did that. And I left it there for like a few days, so it really got small. And even then, it was a still good little chunk of change.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I tried to get it, like, I wanted it to look like, you know, what I saw on TV. Only ones. But still, it's a lot, man. That's like.
That's a lot.
That's a hundred. So my point is that if it was, what's the highest bill total we have? 100, or is there a $1,000 bill?
Well, there used to be. They used to have a $500 bill. Oh no, there's not. She wouldn't have it on her.
So she would have. She would at most. She would have these in hundreds. Yeah. Right. So that's 6,200. Like I just said, I had $100 that I would try to mush down into a brick. If she had 6,200, that's still a lot of real estate.
Yep. And then figure maybe a 20, a 10, and three ones.
Right. At least it wasn't coins.
Well, we don't know.
That's very true. We don't know.
Could have had a roll of quarters up there.
All right.
SB Nation. The newest ATM machine.
On Twitter, at Tony D Radio. Again, Ron Culver. It's at Ron Culver with two N's. Warm up those feet, says Robert. Antonio Brown donated 6 benches worth $105,000 to CMU football. Oh, that's very nice of him. Very good. Made him feel good. Still don't know what's going on upstairs with Antonio Brown. Still weird. It's SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You know, I got a little paper cut the other day and I feel like a wimp. It hurts. Why is it always the case? It's a good one, too. Is it because there's so much nerves in the fingers that it just hurts?
I have said this over and over all the time, and I do believe that this is true, that a paper cut hurts more than a stab wound.
It really hurts.
Because, I mean, with a stab wound, I obviously.
Yeah, I've never had one. But
I imagine it's really painful. But God. A paper cut, anytime air touches it.
Yeah, it's really weird because I'm looking at it like that's crazy red for a little tiny paper cut. Like it's like I have to put a whole bunch of peroxide on it and treat it like it's
infected.
Like I chopped off my finger or something. What's going on?
You can't go to a hospital for that.
Yeah, right.
You just can't.
Think anybody's ever gone to the emergency room for a paper cut? They're like, I just can't get it to stop hurting. You must have something here that can just stop this.
Yes, crazy. You got drugs disguised as bird poop.
Yeah, that's right. You got drugs
disguised
as bird poop.
Need some bird poop drugs to get rid of this paper cut pain.
I feel like that story's only in South Carolina. I'm sure it goes on in other places.
Oh, I'm certain.
God, that's ridiculous. All right, listen, I've said this many times on the show. I really like doing, I kind of like doing retro pieces where we go like on this date 25 years ago, on this date 30 years ago. And it's one of the reasons I like Throwback Thursday a lot because I like to kind of reminisce. I was just talking about how addicted I am to these decade documentaries that Tom Hanks's company has produced for CNN that I'm just binge watching like crazy on CNN. And earlier today I was talking about how we don't have these, like he did about 7 or 8 of these per decade, and each one of them has just a segment on something about that decade that made it, you know, special, unique. A thing on music, television, politics, right? The rise and fall of world powers, if there was a major conflict in the world. But what was missing was a chapter on the decade of sports, and sports not just who won championships, but what happened and what happened in sports that, you know, just went right into the pop culture, went right into the cultural shape of our country. And you could do a lot of big issues in sports, especially every decade has had a few. Whether an athlete crossed over into mainstream entertainment, was very influential, etc. And I mentioned that if you did the 90s, for example, you could do you could do a good segment on baseball, how it went from canceling a World Series in 94 to progressing into the home run chase of a steroid-laced Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire beating out a record many of us didn't think we'd ever see broken, and how we all enjoyed that until the latter part when we realized it was all phony. But on this date 25 years ago, Major League Baseball players went on strike. And if you're old enough to remember that, I don't know how you guys thought of it, but I barely remember the strike of 81 where it was like 50 games. I barely remember that. I remember that was Sports Illustrated had a cover of Mike Schmidt and George Brett, I think. It was two iconic baseball players. And they were on the cover, and then baseball went on strike. And when baseball returned, they had that same cover. And they just had a different title of baseball coming back to work. But I did remember NFL players going on strike in 82, and I remember them going on strike in 87. And what I remembered about 94 was thinking that cooler heads would prevail, something would get done, and baseball would come back. The Yankees, for example, were in first place and having a fantastic year. The Montreal Expos were really good that year. But I did think baseball would eventually return, right? That, you know, hey, we are getting closer to the postseason. That's a cash cow nobody really wants to give up. And then, you know, they'll solve this, the salary cap issue. They'll come to a compromise on it. But they didn't. They didn't, and we didn't have baseball, and they canceled the World Series. They canceled the World Series over something nobody in America cared about. Nobody in America took sides on. Billionaires and millionaires fighting over money. And as hard as both sides, I remember specifically – Bud Selig and the players' union representatives would all make the same pitch in their conversations, right? The players would talk about, instead of trying to paint it as they want to cap our $1 million salaries, right? They don't want us to make more millions of dollars. They tried to convince Americans that, no, this is wrong. In America, you should be able to make as much money as you possibly can. You should not live in a salary cap work environment. If your boss wants to pay you $10 million a year, he should be able to pay you $10 million a year. There shouldn't be any regulation within your industry that says he can't, right? That's up to him and you. And it made sense, but we didn't have any sympathy, right? And then the owners would come back and say, well, all of you in small market teams, all you small markets, don't you want a salary cap to sort of limit spending? Do you guys want all your star players getting gobbled up by the big boys of Major League Baseball? If we don't have something to control spending, well, my God, I mean, it's going to ruin baseball. And we all went, yeah, well, it won't ruin baseball. And you might have a point, but again, just get back to work. And they didn't. And then replacement players came aboard. And there is an interesting theory, and I think it does hold some truth to it, that the replacement players that they started bringing into camp, they started spring training, had a bunch of guys you never heard of, and they were really going to go through with this. They were going to try to do what the NFL did in the late 80s, which is bring in replacement players. Then eventually, you know, the two sides came to an agreement, and then we had baseball again. But it was one of the reasons that Michael Jordan decided he needed to get out of baseball and go play back into the NBA. And it was the thought process was that Jordan was a very union guy in the NBA, very pro-union guy, and he did not want to be part of a system where replacement players were being used, and he was in the minor leagues and did not know where that was going to go. And he saw the writing on the wall and said, maybe it's time for me to start an exit strategy of getting out of this and eventually getting back into the NBA. I don't know if that's true or not, but it was kind of something that was thrown out there. But 25 years ago, they stopped baseball. They canceled the World Series later. It was really wild. And it's hard. And again, I go back to those documentaries I was talking about with Tom Hanks. You know what a big deal that was? How that was part of the 90s. That shaped a lot of the 90s, how baseball died and came and was coming back and how it came back. It's a big part. I mean, there are very few things in sports where we were all running around trying to enjoy the same thing. We don't get to do that very often. But I think that home run race in the late 90s, we really all were a part of watching that, seeing how that was going to play out.
Definitely.
And it's because... And baseball enjoyed it because, again, the sport had died. It completely died.
Dead.
I can't reiterate this enough. They canceled the World Series over a stupid labor strike.
When that 95 season started, no one cared.
Nobody cared.
And they were trying to push it off. Like, oh, baseball's back. And we're like, so?
And Cal Ripken was breaking the streak, and we were like, okay, we got into that. But it still didn't bring it back fully.
No, because we watched that one night.
Yep, one night, and then we were still dealing with...
And we all, you know, it was fun seeing him run around Camden Yards, giving everyone high fives and stuff like that. But I remember the joke of that time, it's like, oh, good, he showed up to work every day.
Yep, that's right. Yep, showed up to work every day. And then the Yankees were winning, but it really was the home run race that started bringing baseball back. Like, I remember working at this radio station in Vegas, and I used to run the board for our Raider football games. We carried the Raiders in Vegas. And I remember when you do that pause for station identification thing.
Yep.
I was doing live 10-second updates on the home run race because information was coming. These guys were hitting two or three a game.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and one of them, it felt like at least one of them was hitting a home run every day. Right? Like in the stretch run in September. Like, McGuire may not hit a home run, but Sosa hit one. And then McGuire may hit two, and then Sosa hit none. But it felt like every day there was, like, these guys were hitting home runs on a consistent basis. And I remember, like, literally would jump on, and I would, you know, they would go, let's pause, and I would jump on the mic, and I would say, McGuire with the home run, he has 62. Sosa has a home run, he has 60, you know, 60, whatever it was. Just because my boss was like, we got to keep the people updated with what's going on with it. Like, he wanted that all the time. And it was a really crazy time. But it all stemmed from that excitement helped bring back a sport that 25 years ago today, they killed by going on strike. 25 years ago. Still amazing. The Montreal Expos, who are now the Washington Nationals, could have gone to their first World Series. Likely would have. They were that good and didn't get a chance because of the stupid labor talk. talks Major League Baseball had 25 years ago today. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's, roll along on a Monday. SB Nation AM.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. You know, sometimes you tweet a celebrity and sometimes they tweet back. And I know it's the people behind the celebrity, but sometimes you can get a tweet back, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, not really. Not really.
Depending on what
personal experience, no.
What I'm wondering, should I? I might just send out a tweet to Tom Hanks saying, "Hey, could you add sports to these decade things?"
I think it's a great idea
because they're really like it would be really great. I'm really obsessed with this because all I kept thinking about was, God, I really wish I was watching a segment on the '90s and the big sports stories of the day. Like they did a thing on the in the '90s. They had a segment on the terrorism that was going on, like the bombing in Oklahoma City and things like that. And yeah. They also included the bombing at the Olympics. But do you remember like Chris Myers on ESPN on at that time?
Yeah,
remember that? How scary that was! Like boom, it was like that was nuts. But in a sports context, like. How did the athletes react to it? Like what, you know, we can do the news part of it. That's obviously true. And Richard Jewell, the guy who found the bag and basically they ruined his life thinking he had something to do with it. But what about the sports aspect of it? How did it affect the Olympics? What was the Olympics like in Atlanta that year? I mean, there's all sorts of things you could talk about in the '90s that were really big sports issues, right? I mean, and there's also, I mean, it's not just like who won the Super Bowl. It's like, what about the time the Super Bowl was taken away from Arizona? Because they didn't have they didn't celebrate Martin Luther King Day.
Mm-hmm.
Remember that? And then they did, and then they got the Super Bowl.
Or even more recently, when the NBA threatened to pull the All-Star game out of Charlotte.
Exactly.
Actually, they did, and then they brought it back.
There's all these powerful social issues that sports has had to deal with in our lifetime, you know. I just mentioned the strike, and also in the '80s, that football strike was pretty bad. Like that was a pretty, you know, that made people go, "Oh God, NFL would." Like they had a weird playoff too. That was kind of a bizarre. That was the year the Redskins and the Dolphins won the Super Bowl. Went to the Super Bowl. Redskins won it. Yeah, I didn't realize that the Dolphins haven't been to the Super Bowl since Super Bowl 19 with Dan Marino. Isn't that amazing? Remember, like when I was younger, the Dolphins were really good. They didn't have Marino, but they were really good. They went to a Super Bowl. Always seemed to be competing for one, right? And then Dan Marino goes in Super Bowl 19, and you're thinking, okay, well they got one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. They'll be back at it. No, they weren't back at it. They didn't go back. They did not go back. We were just talking about Dak Prescott possibly turning down $30 million a year because you better get that right. Even if you get it right, sometimes it doesn't work out for you. I mean, my God, imagine if you went back in time and said at that Super Bowl, sitting in the press box, Super Bowl 19, Palo Alto, California, and you said, guys, this kid is never going to come to this game again. You'd win a ton of bets if you laid that down. And all you have to do is say, forget winning. No, forget winning. He's never going to be in this game again. He's like 24 or whatever he was at the time. You'll never see him in the Super Bowl ever again for his career. You would have won a ton of bets in the early, mid-'80s. Dan Marino going to another Super Bowl after 19? Absolutely. Totally would have. Same with the Redskins. Remember when the Redskins won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. And when was the last time they were in the Super Bowl? The time they beat the Bills in Super Bowl 26?
Yeah.
That was the last time.
That
was the last time they went. So
just, that's because it's all been Patriots.
Man, it's right. In the end, it's all because.
Just because of the Patriots.
So it's, you know, enjoy it while you can. I met a Dolphins fan yesterday. We were talking about that. The fact that he has not seen his team go to the Super Bowl. Since 1985. That's it.
All right, I came across this. I don't know if this is true. I've been trying to figure it out. But this is a weird fact if it is true. The Minnesota Vikings have not had the same quarterback play a full season back-to-back since 1973.
What? That doesn't seem right, but I wouldn't be surprised if it is right. Okay, that since 1973?
Yeah, a full season.
Okay, so full 16 games and then another 16 games.
Yeah.
All right, yeah, okay. I mean, obviously, yeah, but still that seems odd.
I guess Kirk Cousins is going to be the first one.
First
since
one.
1973.
Fran Tarkenton must have got hurt a lot back in the day. Who was the Vikings quarterback in the 80s? Like, did they have a big time quarterback in the 1980s? I don't remember. I'm trying to think of all my football cards when I was a kid. I think I know. What about Dante Culpepper? Oh, he was hurt a lot. Yeah, I'm sorry. I need to retract that. I think he was banged up.
Now we're going
there.
Through. It's like, okay, you know, maybe there is some truth behind this.
Yeah. Was Wade Wilson ever a quarterback there? Think of the Vikings QBs. All right, look that up. We got to look that up. Who are the Vikings quarterbacks in the 80s? That's a weird statistic. Because normally you can get some health. You can find lightning in a bottle and get a quarterback healthy for all 16 games back-to-back seasons. But in the 80s even, they didn't have a thoroughbred.
So since 1973, to start a full season, you had Fran Tarkenton, he did 14.
All right. That was a full season back then?
Yeah.
73? Okay.
So I'm looking.
Okay. So 14 games, yeah.
Yeah, we got Fran Tarkenton. Did not play a full season in 74. Did play a full season in 75, not right. 76, or 77.
He did run around a lot.
He played a full season in 78, but then Tommy Kramer played a full season in 79.
Tommy Kramer, that's what I was thinking of, yeah.
And then 80, 81. Tommy Kramer did not play a full season. He almost did in 80. He started 15 games.
But not quite.
Then Steve Dills started one.
Steve Dill?
Dills.
Dills? Okay.
So then 82, strike shortened season. He only played 9 games.
Right.
This is amazing.
That is really incredible. Because, you know, on the flip side of that argument is I've always made the case that all these people that have gotten excited over Patriots quarterbacks that are backups to Tom Brady, show me the outside of Matt Castle, show me the long resume of times when they've gotten to play significantly in Brady's career. He plays 16 games all the time. Obviously, that one year he got injured in week one, he was out for the whole season. But if you go to Tom Brady, you'll see 16 on a lot of the years that he's played. I mean, he doesn't even sit out games that they don't need to win. But a lot of times, you know, they're usually playing towards the end of the season because there's usually somebody breathing down their neck for home field advantage throughout the playoffs. But
Dante Culpepper,
that's the one I was thinking of. He was the quarterback for a long time, but okay. I could honestly see him not doing this.
Here's how it works. Full season 2000.
Right.
Only 11 games 2001. 16 in 2002. 14 in 2003.
Yeah.
16 in 2004. Then in 2005, Brad Johnson started 9. Culpepper started 7. So that was the end of Culpepper.
When was Brad Johnson a full time starter there? Ever?
2005, 2006.
Okay, and he didn't do it either.
Nope. God. In 2006, he only started 14 games, and then Travaris Jackson started 2.
Oh, God.
Brett Favre did start 16 all 16 games in 2009, but in 2010 only started 13.
That's tough.
Teddy Bridgewater, 2015, started all 16. More than likely would have started every game in 2016. But unfortunately, the injury happened and Sam Bradford took over.
Now, that is a really, really cool statistic.
So Kirk Cousins did start all 16 games last season. We should assume that he'll start all 16. But if history tells us, Kirk Cousins got to be worried.
Of course. Absolutely.
Since 1973.
That is something I bet you there is a long-time Vikings media guy that has known this forever and has been waiting to see when this is going to happen.
That is amazing.
Like, he's just been every year, he's like, well, there you go, streak's over, we're not getting this again. All right, we'll have to try again next year. Like they get 16 games the first year, and then they're like 10 games in the year two, and they're like, almost there, I got six more starts left. And then he gets hurt and like, oh shoot. All right, we'll try again next year. But that is a weird statistic. That is absolutely strange. Maybe it's not as strange, the more I think about it. The more I think about it, that's really not. Maybe the longevity of it makes it strange, but you're probably right. Outside of Brady, you're probably hard pressed to find. You know, Manning was pretty good at keeping. Eli Manning and Peyton Manning have both been very good at keeping.
You want to know the truth?
Health streaks.
I'm looking at the Browns. The Browns have not had a. The Browns since 2001.
Oh, good Lord. They've had like 50 people play quarterback.
Since 2001 have not had. Tim Couch was the last person who played a full season for the Browns, and that was in 2001. Since then, they've had multiple starting quarterbacks, including 2008, they had four.
That's great.
But no, the Browns haven't had a quarterback play back-to-back full seasons since ever.
God.
They never had. I mean, even if you go back to Otto Graham, back when there was only a 12-game season. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Otto Graham did it in 50, 51, and 52. Milt Plum. Oh, no, I got to look at this
back. Okay, you had to go all the way back to Otto Graham?
Brian Sipe.
Okay, Sipe in the 80s?
78, 79, 80, 81 played full seasons.
Wow. God, that's crazy.
So I guess it's more common than we thought. It just sounds funny.
It does sound funny.
With the Vikings saying 73.
Yeah, because 73 was like, my God, it was like Gerald Ford was president or something. I mean, or Nixon was president. It's like, what? I mean, it goes back forever. I mean, so, yeah, well, like I said, Brady, he plays all the time. I mean, Roethlisberger, I'm curious about Roethlisberger. He's been pretty sturdy.
Yeah,
He's been hurt, don't get me wrong, but he's been pretty sturdy.
By comparison, I mean, Andrew Luck started all 16 games from 12 to 14. Then he kept getting injured a lot, but he's back.
Yeah, there was that fall where he was playing and starting all the games, and then he missed an entire season. Then he kept getting hurt, then he missed an entire year.
Yeah, from 1998 to 2010, Manning started all every game for him.
Yeah, him and his brother. Both him and Eli start all the time. They play all the time. That's why everybody lost their mind at McAdoo when he bowled, when he broke Eli's streak. Because he's like, they're like, you know how hard this is? What are you doing? What are you doing just breaking it to break it? Like, without him being hurt or anything, you're just not, you're breaking it to break it. That makes no sense. Like seriously, like, imagine if somebody did that with Cal Ripken. Like when he was doing that Iron Man thing, and they got to about 1,700 games, still a ways, but you're like, yeah, Cal, I'm just giving you the day off. Why? I'm just giving you the day off. What are you talking about? Take the day off, relax. Like, what do you mean? I'm fine. I can play.
This goes, I mean, we talked about this earlier with Dak Prescott. This explains why you pay these guys the most amount of money.
Absolutely.
Because if you can find one that is there for you year in, year out, all 16 games, you're getting your money's worth.
You're getting your money's worth.
Have a guy like Peyton Manning locked up from 98 to 2010.
Yep.
12 years. A position you didn't even have to think about. He's your guy. Let's concentrate everywhere else, which they did. They did effectively.
Absolutely. All right, again on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, Ron with two N's. It is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio. All right, Ron's found a treasure trove of NFL statistical information.
And I got to go full disclosure here. I don't have an Instagram account. I might get one follow.
He has 19 of these NFL, strange NFL.
No, over 1,700.
Oh, 1,700, 19. What was it?
1,700.
1,700.
NFL fun facts.
Fun facts.
And this is the latest one that this person posted. today. It makes absolutely no sense to me, but I can't argue it because we've already debunked a couple of them.
Right.
You ready for this?
Yeah.
If Tom Brady has a 12-4 season, his career win percentage goes down.
Oh my God! Are you serious? Really?
I'm not going to argue it. So if he goes 12-4,
that's for true.
His career win percentage goes down.
That's probably right. Well, what's his career win percentage now? Do we know?
I'm not going to look it up.
But I mean,
God. That makes absolutely no sense.
There are weird Brady stats, like if he, or like Belichick stats, something like if they went 0-16 for the next 5 years or something like that, they'd still have a winning percentage better than like the Dolphins or something. Like, I mean, just something weird like that, where the Patriots have won so many games, it almost skews statistically all of their career percentage stats in terms of winning games. So that is really odd. If he goes 12-4, he takes a dip. That's a bad year.
That's a bad year.
That is off the norm.
That's a bad 12-4, and it's a bad
Whereas
year.
Whereas I would crawl on broken glass to get 12-4 with the Steelers this year. Are you kidding me? Even with my paper cut, I'd crawl on broken glass to get 12-4. Patriots would be like, ooh, now you're playing with fire, messing with that win percentage. I don't want to want you dealing with that, Tom. You stay nearly perfect, my friend. Stay nearly perfect. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. As we roll along on a Monday.